Amen. You can be seated and grab your Bibles this morning and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, the title of the message is Practicing the Word of God. And James is really going to let us have it this morning. Practicing the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22 down to verse 25. James says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Practicing the Word of Truth. Last week we began this section that James gave us concerning the Word, and that was receiving the Word of Truth, verses 19 to 21. Today, practicing the Word of Truth. Next week, sharing the Word of Truth. James, as we've been saying, is the doer of the apostles. He's the one who's concerned mainly about us doing what we say we believe. And when it comes down to it, the opposite of that, or to not do that, as we'll see this morning, is to in fact be a hypocrite. To say that you know God, or that you even know the Bible, and then to live opposite to that, or to conduct yourself in a way that is contrary to the Bible, is in fact, as he says in verse 22, deceiving ourselves. And so this morning, I'm going to challenge you to listen very carefully. Listen, this message is convicting. I want to tell you right now up front, I've been convicted putting it together. I don't like this message. I wanted to change it since last night. I've wanted to massage it, and this morning I got up and tried to move around a few verses and delete a few, and I don't know if I had the permission to do that. I've got to tell you right now, in the delivery of this, it's coming to me first. The Lord has made that clear in my own heart. But that doesn't call you this morning to be a spectator, but in fact to be one who, with me, we're in this together. And you might say, well, how's that? Just like this. Watch. Are you a Christian this morning? Huh? Some head bobbing going on? Huh? Why don't you raise your hand if you're a Christian this morning? Okay. Would you put your hand down? Boy, are you in trouble now. That's exactly what James is talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. Oh, I'm a Christian. Hand goes up. Head bobs up and down. You ever seen those little dogs in the back of retired people's windows? The little dog with the head bobbing in the back of the car? Oh yeah, that dog never goes anywhere, doesn't bark, do anything. His head just goes up and down. He looks like a dog, but he's not a dog at all. He's just a stuffed piece of whatever. His head's just bobbing and, in fact, is not a dog. And a lot of people, maybe in the sanctuary, I hope not. Maybe this is for people at other churches. You can get the tape and take it to them. But there are people who, oh, you betcha, I'm a Christian. The head begins to bob up and down with agreement. You bet. Hand goes up. Yeah, put me in that camp. Yeah, you put me in the camp that the word means Christian. The definition of it is, in this world, I'm just like Jesus. Yeah, I got my hand up. My head's bobbing. You can count on me. I'm a Christian. I'm a little Christ Christian in this world. So, yep, hands up, heads bobbing. We're all in this together this morning. This is serious stuff. He's going to say to us in several points that we need to be doers of the Word of God. If we are not doers, then we have in fact deceived ourselves. And listen, it doesn't matter how long you say you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter how many times you've sat in that seat that you're in right now. It just doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, what are you doing and what am I doing? And we're not even going to ask the ushers to keep the doors closed today. There will be people streaming out as the message goes forward because I don't want to hear this. None of us are going to want to hear this. You know, do we teach James chapter 1, verses 1 to 21, skip, get on over to verse 26? You can't do it. I've tried. You can't do it. It's not the way it goes. First of all, in your note-taking, and you're going to want to take notes today because we don't want to be a forgetful hearer. In our note-taking, we need to jot this down. Regarding trials, regarding tests, and regarding temptations, the things we've been studying about in the Christian life, listen, Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Whoever hears my sayings, my words, and does them, I will liken unto him as a wise man." Don't you want God to say, "He's a wise man"? Well, then listen, Jesus says, to the words he says. He's like a man who built a house on a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and El Nino came, and beat on the house, but the house did not fall because it was founded on a rock. Now everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It's like an Einstein to figure out what's going to happen here. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the El Niños blew, and the house fell in, and it was a great, great fall. Why? Because one person who heard the Word of God said, "I'm going to build on it. I'm going to put it down, I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to do it." And another person said, "I'm going to listen to it, I'm going to build a house with it. And I'm going to assent to the fact, listen, I agree with those construction plans, I agree with concrete, I agree with rebar, I agree with plumbing, I agree with all this stuff." They can agree all they want to, but the fact of the matter is, the foundation is sand versus the other who built on rock. And it's spoken to the believer. Who are we? Are we in fact Christians? Well, in this room, there's not one non-Christian non-believer in here, is there today? Everybody's hand goes up, and listen, it comes right back at me as well, and Jesus is going to ask, James is going to ask the question, well, if your hand goes up, then you must be a doer of the Word. And here's the great two questions. If that's true, if we raised our hands, then here's the questions that are most important to us. Number one is, what I'm doing in my Christianity, is it promoting the going forth of God's Word? You have to answer that question. You don't have to answer it to me. In the silence of your own heart, ask yourself this question. Really, what am I doing in my life to promote the going forth of the Word of God? You say, "Well, Jack, why are you asking that?" Well, because Jesus said to all Christians everywhere to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Is that an optional verse? How many of you have heard that verse before? Raise your hand. Some of you are getting smart and you're not raising your hands. Listen, Jesus said that to the believer. So, A, I'm either a goer, could be a week, could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be a lifetime. Or B, I'm a sender. I'm either a goer or I'm a sender. I will send somebody to go, or I will in fact go. So which is it for you? You raised your hand, I raised my hand, what am I doing? You see how pointed this is? See how direct this is? God wants to know, what are you doing? James is saying, don't be a hearer only of the Word, but a doer. And you won't be deceived. What's implied in the Greek language about deception here in verse 22 is that we are, in fact, deceiving ourselves if we are not doing what we know to do. Example. Have you ever bought something and it says assembly required? Personally, I hate those kinds of boxes that say such things. Not because I don't want to put something together. I don't have the time to put it together. So, if I don't have the time to put it together, do I have the time to read the instructions? Guys? Two things guys cannot do. Read instructions and ask for directions. It's genetically impossible. They have found a chromosome that... No, we can't read the instructions. I can put it together faster. I'm a man. I can figure this out. So we buy Junior a bicycle at Target. We bring it home. And we pull this thing out of the box. And it's his birthday. And so we start to put this thing together. And you know, maybe the wife walks by and goes, "What is that? I thought you were buying him a bike." It is a bike. From here, it's a bike. From my angle, it's a lawnmower. From Junior's angle, he walks in and he goes, "What is this? Looks like a barbecue." It depends on what angle you look at it from. Well, I put it together. I want it to be such a bike without looking at the instructions that I justify it is a bike. Look at it. It's a great bike. In fact, I put it together better than the instructions would probably suggest it be put together. But depending upon what vantage point you have, the wife might think it's a lawnmower and Junior might think it's a barbecue. See, it's all mixed up. You can't even tell what it is. And a lot of Christians are that way. They listen, they don't do, they in fact have deceived themselves, and nobody can figure out what they are because they haven't done it according to the instructions. What, somebody might say, are you? Somebody might say, who are you? And that's what James is going to address this morning. He is talking about everybody in the world today that is able to pick up the Bible and say, I know God. John tells us in 1 John, to those who say they know God and love Him and do not do the things He says, they are in fact a liar, the Bible says, and do not know Him at all. Do you know anybody like this? Or in our own lives, do we do this? I know God. I love God. And then I do not do what He says to do. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord? And you don't do the things I've asked you to do. The Lord sits over His kingdom and says, I want everybody to be filled with joy. And somebody in the crowd goes, no, Lord. You can't say no, Lord. It's no, I'm rebelling against you. Or, no, I don't like you. Or, no, I don't care what you say. But you can't say no, Lord. With that title, Lord, is you can never say no to the Lord. It has to be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To whatever He commands. Or else He's not Lord. So the question James is asking us this morning, is He our Lord? Now watch. A lot of people want Him as their Savior. Oh, save me. Ooh, save me now. But don't ask me to do anything you say. A lot of people might have that concept because they're just arrogant and they're proud. And no one's going to tell me what to do, including God. We had somebody recently in their deathbed tell us, I don't want anything to do with God. I'll do it my way. I'll do it my own way. Can you imagine? Take Jesus and that Bible and get out of my room. Now, unless there's a radical change in that person has a horrible life. Eternal life ahead, which is in fact an eternal death. That's tragic. Yes, Lord, is the response that we're to be making if we're Christians. Hey, all of our hands went up. Hey, all of our heads are bobbing. So what are we doing about it? This is what James is talking about. First thing, verse 22, first point, practicing the Word of God, all of us need to right now roll up our spiritual sleeves and get into it. And that is this. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so the word be right here, be doers, the word be is a fantastic word. It means to arise, to get up, and to do because you are empowered or you can do it. It's not a command which you and I cannot do. God will never ask you to do something, by the way, you can't do in Him. Listen, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Are you ready? Here comes another test. This whole day is filled with tests. Do you believe Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Bob goes the head and up goes the hand. And we say, I believe it. Why, that's the Word of God, brother. And I say that's true. Okay? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Where does our strength come from? Christ. We can do what? All things. Is there any excuses in there for anything? Well, I'm timid. Okay. I've only got one leg, so I can't go door to door. Okay, God's got a work for you to do. I can't sing. Join the club with me. Think about it. Generate your excuse with your hand raised and your head bobbing and say, God, Lord, this is why I can't do what you're asking me to do. You know, Moses did that. I'll follow you everywhere. I'll lead these people out. Go talk to Pharaoh. Ebbity, 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 ebbity. And Moses says, let me tell you, Lord, why that ain't going to work. And then God had to tell Mo, listen, didn't I make your tongue? Didn't I make your mouth? I'll take care of your mouth. And guess what? I mean, Moses just wouldn't do it. Eventually, it happened, but drug his heels. Listen, many of us are dragging our heels. God wants to do something radical in our life. He wants us to be doers. But you know what? We're just sitting right now being hearers. We're going to find out how dangerous that can be to those who bob their heads and raise their hands. To all of us. And so when he says be, it's a word that means we can do. In fact, it's the very same word found in John chapter 1, verse 14, when it says there concerning Jesus, that Jesus, being the Word, became flesh and lived among us. The Word became. He became flesh and lived among us because He had the power to do it. We can be doers of the Word of God because, guess what? We have the power to do it. If you are not practicing the Word of God in your life, you have in fact lied to yourself. You are in fact a hypocrite. You're saying, I believe in the Word, but I'm not going to do the Word. The Bible says to have peace. I am not going to have peace. I'm in fact going to worry because this is my way of having control of the situation. I am not going to go and tithe my money so people can hear the gospel and lights can be on and air conditioning or heaters can be turned on because I want to keep it to myself. Then you can't call Him Lord. You can't say, Lord, save me. I want You as my Savior. But you can't call Him Lord and not do what He says. And so to be a doer is to do the things that God wants. Now, Christian, listen. God wants you to do what His perfect plan is for your life. Are you listening carefully? That perfect plan is awesome for your life and my life. The thing is, we don't have to often believe that. Last Wednesday night, if you were here, was one of the most awesome worship times I've ever had with the Lord and in this Wednesday night service. It was tremendous. If you weren't here, boy, did you miss something. It was great. And it was sweet. And we're singing, and all of us in this room, and it was packed, and we're just praising the Lord. And, man, this song was, I was listening to the song that Michael and the group were singing, and I was really, really being touched by it. And I said in my heart, Lord, You just take all of me and do whatever You want. Put me wherever, send me wherever You want me to go. I'll do anything You want. And then I thought, as long, Lord, as it's not below or near the equator south, because I hate the heat. And so my hands are up. I'm standing right about over here. Right here. Lord, send me wherever You want, except south of the border, south of the equator. I'm not into that. I don't like bugs. God, you know. And I'm sitting here talking to God in my head, telling Him, my Lord, You're my Lord. You can have all of me. You can have most of me. You can have a lot of me. But whatever You do, don't send me where there's big bugs, snakes, things like that. And you know, have you ever thought that, or is that just me? Lord, take my life. Just use me. As long as it's in the areas that I approve of. Listen, the funny thing is this. God is so kind that He will embed into your heart the very thing He wants you to do. It will become a desire of your heart. He's not mean. He doesn't say, okay, Jack, I've got you. What is it, Lord? What is it? Detroit! You're going to Detroit! No, God, not Detroit! Anywhere, Lord, but Detroit. Please, Lord, I'll do that. He won't do that. You know what? One day I'm going to wake up, or after a couple of weeks or months, you know what? I don't know why, but I can't get Detroit out of my mind. I'm making this up. I'm not thinking about Detroit. Oh, Lord, you know, what's happening in Detroit? What's going on in Omaha? What's going on in these places? And you get a burden, and all of a sudden you want to go there. That's how God sends you. He's not going to say, now that you've yielded your life to Me, I'm sending you to Bangladesh. Well, He's going to send you to Bangladesh because you want to go. He put it in your heart. So don't be afraid. Just say, Lord, take all of me. And then hang on for an e-ticket ride, friend. Because this is going to be wonderful. It's going to be so exciting. The option is, no, I just want to hear the message. Will you just leave me alone, Pastor? I just want to hear the message, will you? I want to do my Christian time, put in my hour and 25 minutes course of the week, appease my conscience, and do my own thing. The Bible says you are deceived, and there's a high risk that you may not know God at all. And these are words to Inthia Church. And it's not popular to say, The word to be a doer is the word poetis. Does that ring a bell? Poetis. Poem. That's where we get the word poem. Be a poem of God. By doing the word, we're a poem of God. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, "For we are His poem, created in Christ unto good works." A poem. The word is to perform the script. Poetis. To perform the script. To do what you've been commanded. Or to do what's in the heart to do. You are a poem. Every Christian that raises their hand and bobs their head at a verse or a message is a poetis in the hand of God. You are a poem to the world. And that's why He sends us out. Maybe it's down the street or around the world. And people look and they say, "He must be a Christian." They're not going to agree with us. Not all of them. They may be even angry at our witness. But they will have to say, "They're a Christian." Why? It's God's poetis in the world. God's poem. And He says, "We are His workmanship created in Christ for good works." The works of God that He's made us to do. And the question is, here comes another quiz. You got a few of them during the message. Is what has God called, past tense, you to do? What are you doing? Don't answer. Just talk to God about it. You know, you see somebody's name, Dr. Johnny Johnson, MD. What does that mean? It means he's a doctor of medicine. In between's his name. Okay? Concerning your name and my name, Johnny Johnson Usher? Johnny Johnson cleans the church traffic guard? Pastor? Priest? Pope? What? What are you? Behind the name of every Christian who raises their hands and bobs their heads should be Johnny Johnson, the gift of encouragement. You see how convicting this is? What are we? You can't raise your hand and bob your head and not know what you are. We are to be doers of the Word of God. There's enough people in this room to change the entire course of the world. If 12 people turn the world upside down, what can all the people in this room do if we determine in our hearts to do the Word? And by the way, I'm wondering, did anyone in their bulletin this morning see something that we've started from this day on forevermore? In the bulletin is a memory verse for the week that you'll take out and you'll cut it out of your bulletin and you'll put it on your dashboard or on your refrigerator or wherever you spend more of your time in front of the refrigerator. And we're going to memorize this verse. And next week we're going to have a new verse. And you've got 7 days to memorize this verse. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why? Because when you have the Word of God in your head, that's still not good enough though. It's in your head. Could be in your heart even. Are you doing, building, you're building on sand or on a rock? To build it on the rock is to stand on that verse and say, "I'm going to memorize it," but that's not enough. What are you supposed to do with it? Do it. You're supposed to do it. And that's what we're going to start doing. And from now on, we're going to start asking each other, "Hey, you got that verse down last week?" If we see each other on Wednesday night, now watch, nobody will come. "Hey, what's the verse from Sunday?" James 1:22. "Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves." All right. Now, what do we do with it? We go do the doing part. Well, what does that mean? Hey, it can be as simple as this. And it's fun, mind you. And this has already been tested, so I know it works. Next time you're standing in line, you're thinking, "What can I do?" You're standing in line at Albertsons. Or no, you're standing in line at Chapel Creek Book and Coffee with all of your Christian paraphernalia books and coffee drinks. And you're going to buy them and you're standing there. And you see somebody, because there's a lot of non-Christians that come in and out of that bookstore. And you're standing there and you see somebody, or you're at Albertsons or wherever you're at in the world, and you might say, "You know what? That guy is obviously sick. He's coughing his head off, or or that lady's crying, or somebody's upset. You know, hey, you know what? Listen, all of us, we're all Christians. Remember our heads bobbing? We stop and we say, 'I'm going to go tell that person. I'm going to pray for them.'" Well, Jack, is that even legal? Yeah, it's legal. It's very legal. But it sure, certainly violates our comfort zone, doesn't it? I'd rather have people not really know that about me. then don't call him Lord, okay? Here's the deal. If we see someone coughing in line at Albertsons and we walk up and say, and I did this, so it works. Excuse me, but I see you're coughing. You're not feeling well. Can I pray for you? Can I just get your name and I'll pray for you? I don't mean lay hands on him in the aisle and, Father, we ask you to bring that spirit out of him. That spirit of coughing your head. No, I don't mean that. I mean, just put your hand there. I mean, just say, listen, I just want your name. You don't have to make the big deal. I'm just, your name is John? Hey, you know what, John, I'm going to be praying for you. Listen, you know what people do when you do that? Try it. Do it. Watch what happens. There's about 600 people in this room. Can you imagine doing this? 600 people doing it. You walk into somebody, and this is, and I've done this before, and I've never had this kind of response. I'd like to pray for you. Or, you know, can I? I've never had someone say, why don't you mind your own business, you snoop? That's never happened. I've had people say, pray for me. I've had people say, no one's ever asked this before. I've had people say, can you pray for my mom too? She's really sick. I've never been shut down. Listen, you may not consider yourself an evangelist, but you see somebody standing in line or walking across the parking lot and they look kind of sad. By the way, you don't have to look too far. Someone's french fries are up. Doesn't that sound like a McDonald's french fry thing? I'm so hungry that that's what it reminds me of. You walk up to somebody and they're looking sad and you say, listen, I just want to tell you, Jesus Christ loves you and he gave his life for you. See you later, and walk away. And just walk away. And it's very, very powerful. Someone might say, you know what? Wait, stop. Why did you say that? Ministry will open up. The thing is, will you and I decide today, right now, to either respond to what we hear by doing, or are we going to sit in church, do our Christian time, take in truth, and deceive ourselves, and wind up, who knows, with what kind of a spiritual end? And you might say, what are you suggesting, Jack? And this is what I'm suggesting. It's very, very frightening. When he tells us in this verse, look with me, verse 22, don't be deceived. He says in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now listen to this. The word hearer in verse 23 is the word to audit. He just simply audits. And you say, well, what does that mean? Hey, have you ever been in a college class or a college course, or maybe you taught one? I know at the Bible College, when I teach prophecy, on the list of the students' names, on some of their names off to the side, it will say audit. And it means they're in the class, they're sitting in the seat, they're breathing the same air we're breathing, but they don't get a grade. They don't get the test. They don't get any kind of input or involvement. They're an audit. They're there of their own decision. They can do whatever they want with the data. They can take it or throw it off. They're just there. Listen, they're not accountable to the class. Do you understand? They're an audit. That's the word that's used here. A person who comes into church and just listens. And they're listening well. They may have even been thinking, I should have took this class. They're there, but they're not there. And what happens is, the teacher knows, God knows, they're an audit. Nothing's required of them because they're not in the class. That's frightening. Because he's saying a person who hears and does not do is just an auditor to the Word of God. And it means this. They agree with it. Their hand goes up and their head bobs with it. But they don't do it. They do not say, God, this message I heard today, I'm going to put into life. I'm going to put into application. Now watch this. There used to be a place called the Bible Belt, South Central United States. That's gone now. It's ruptured. Quite honestly, it's dead. What is happening in America is that there's the suspenders rather than the Bible. The East Coast of the United States is experiencing tremendous spiritual revival right now. Some of the fastest growing churches in America are on the East Coast of the United States. For the last 40 years, Southern California has been the mecca of spiritual growth in America. There's great work on the West Coast. There's great work on the East Coast. The middle is dying because of its liberal theology, by and large. Now watch this. The important thing about this is that there is a plethora of Bible teaching. You can turn on the radio and listen to any great Bible teacher. And you know what? I don't know if I'm encouraging you to do that. In fact, I don't know if I'm encouraging you to come back here. If you're not going to decide, and if I'm not going to decide to be a doer, you know what you're doing? You know what I'm doing? We are heaping upon ourselves great judgment because we know what the Word says. Jesus says, to whom much is given, much will be required of him. And to whom has been committed much, I will require from him all the more. You can sit down and listen to Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, Chuck Swindoll. I mean, name them. You can do it. And come at the end of the day and your life has not changed one iota. And God says, I will now hold you accountable for all that went into your ear. Well, yeah, but Lord, I forgot. That is no excuse. You listened carelessly. I implanted the Word. I was hoping for fruit and for productivity out of it. And you squandered it. That is the Word of God. The Bible tells us, be careful how we hear the Word. Do we listen or are we being religious phonies and sitting here and taking in the message, doing Christian time with no intentions of changing? The Bible says you're deceived. And listen to this. He says that we are like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and then puts it down and goes away, forgetting what kind of man he is. Now watch this. He says, those, verse 23, who don't do, but hear only. He's like a man observing. The word observing means this. Watch this. It's no shock to us. He looks and he says, I know me. This is me. I can see my wrinkles. I can see my freckles. I can see this. I can see that. It's me. I'm well-versed with what I'm seeing. Why? It's me. I look at me more than anybody. I get up in the morning. I look at me. I make sure me is dressed. I make sure that this or that, it's me. He's saying a person who's familiar with the Word of God is like a man who's familiar with his own face. But here, he makes a horrible miscalculation. He puts down the mirror and walks away and forgets what kind of man he was. Now watch this. Why did James say this? Because in James's town, at this time of biblical times, Socrates, of course, was very popular. And guess what? Socrates had said this concerning the handheld mirror. He said, all of my students will carry with them a mirror. Socrates. If you're a student of Socrates, you had to carry a handheld mirror. That's the exact same word James used. Why? Because Socrates says, you look in the mirror, and if you like what you see, then live a good life and keep your face that way. If you like what you see, live a good life and keep your face that way. Because he went on to say that if you live a hard life, it will weather your face. Then Socrates says, if you look into a mirror and you do not like what you see, then work on your heart. Change and have your heart renewed, and it will affect, eventually, the way you look on the outside. So you win either way, if you what? Apply yourself to what you hear. James picks up that popular notion and understanding of the people of the time and uses the very word about a mirror. And here's the frightening part, people. He looks at his natural face. The word in the Greek is his face of nativity. The face that he was born with. Now watch this. There are three general camps of knowledge or understanding from the Greek scholars of history, the best. And this is the conclusion they've come to. No one knows the meaning of the verse. They can only come close. So are you ready for this? Everybody listening? Are you hearing? This is serious. And I have to confess, frightening. He beholds his natural face. Number one, their understanding of it is this, that the person is not a Christian at all. That's why it uses the term natural face. That he looks and recognizes himself, he's natural. Yet he has a propensity to do religious or be religious, so he's a hypocrite who's been fooled. He's not applying the word. He sees his own face, the face of this world, and he's trying to do religious things. He's a religious person, but he doesn't know God. That's the definition of the word. A second definition is this. He's a Christian, but he's very wayward from God, and he has a spiritual face, but he only focuses on his natural face. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. More of this. More of that. La-di-da. Temporal view of life and does not do spiritual things. He's backslidden. He's a backslidden Christian. The third understanding, there's only three of them, and none of them are very comforting. That this person is a Christian who has severely miscalculated the Word of God, has become an auditor-type listener, and does not apply the Bible to his life. His end is debatable. That's the definition for natural faith. None of it brings us any comfort. I get the feeling James didn't want to bring us any comfort here. All of you, we all look so nice today, and our shirts are pressed, and our dresses are nice and bright, and all this and that and the other thing. And the fact of the matter is, James loves you so much, he pulled back his slingshot and hit us right between the eyes this morning. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what you think about what. The thing is, James says, show me you're a Christian. And all of our hands go up and all of our heads bob up and down, and the world says, show me a Christian. Show me those who are just like Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 John, as Christ was in the world, so are we now. But you know what we do? We're like a place where I used to hate growing up. Like, I remember my parents. It's so traumatic. I remember even the clothes I had on. It was evening time, so I got a bath. I remember my parents, my mom put me in these pajamas that we all used to wear, those of us who were born forever ago, with the feet in them. They got the little rubber bumps on the feet, the little zipper up the middle. It'll look like a bunny suit. And you could hear the kid walking miles away with that kind of pajama on, you know. And I remember getting drug off to a place. It was a smorgasbord. And I remember... at this one place, we're in a booth, and you can see on the table, the table's covered in plates. There's Italian food, Chinese, Japanese, French, German. I mean, it's all kinds of food, and I couldn't stand the smell. I was so picky anyway. I didn't want to eat the things that made me sick. It was called Sir George's Smorgasbord. It was like, no! We're going to Sir George's. No! No! What are we eating? I don't know. Just keep it coming. Sampling everything, not knowing what you're eating at all. Coming away with, as you drive away, oh boy, that was good. What was good? Well, you know that thing? It was that thing wrapped up, I don't know, it was good. What thing? I didn't see that thing. It's like whatever. And listen, we live in an area, we live in a place where we can turn on radio, we can do all kinds of, we can sample all kinds of teaching. Oh man, I got a little bit of Swindoll, got a little Smith, got a little Graham, got a little Laurie, got a little this. Hey, what's changing your life? Is it changing you? Hey, get a verse. That's why it's in your bulletin from now on. Cut it out. Put it on your right hand, your forehead, or your dashboard. Memorize it and do it. Or else, we're like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and says, I'm a Christian! Got my little Christian fish on my lapel. Got a Christian coffee cup. Got a Christian shirt on. And everything around you is saved but you yourself. You walk out into the world and you just don't do it. This is hard stuff. We need to be careful. You need to be very careful regarding these things. And then we want to look, verse 24, when he makes his fatal mistake, he says he forgets. He forgets. All of us are guilty of this. When you sit in a message or you hear a service or you listen to a tape or a radio program, and then somebody, you might even say, man, did you hear that radio program? Did you hear, it was so, what did he talk about? You know, I don't know, but it was, I remember it being really good. It's been flushed. gone. It would have been better not to have heard at all. I have labored over this message, wondering how I was going to deliver this news. More importantly, if we quoted one verse today from the Scripture, and if we opened up our Bibles for a moment, how would you and I receive this truth? This cuts to our hearts. Right now, the hypocrite, who never thought themselves to be a hypocrite, is saying, could this be me? Right now, the Christian who sees himself in the mirror is very committed, is wondering, what do I do to forward the gospel of Christ around the world? And do people in my community know that I'm a Christian at all? You might say, you know what, Jack, that's pretty mean, because you know what, people come and they listen and people hear you, and you know what, it's not mean. The person who teaches the Word of God is in trouble more than anyone who hears, because he will receive the greater judgment. This stuff scares me to death. There's no pussyfooting around this. Are you a Christian? Then finally, in verse 25, he says, this is the end or the fate of a Christian, a real one. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and does not forget, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I love this last sentence. This one will be blessed. It's as though God is looking to and fro throughout all the earth, waiting and eager to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are right toward him. He's looking. Man, where are they? Oh, there's one! There's one! Gabriel, Michael, this one! What does he want to do with this one? Bless him. That's what it says. You want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? You want to just have a blessed life? Blessed is the word. Oh, how happy. You want to be happy? Don't tell me you don't want to be happy. You want to be happy. God says, you know what? I want you happy too. I want you so happy. I want you skipping. I want you so happy. Oh, you want to be happy? Oh, yes, I want to be happy. God wants you more happy than you want to be happy. You want to be joy-filled? Filled with joy. Oh, yes, God wants you filled with more joy than you can handle. Oh, do you want to remember what you hear concerning the Word of God? God wants you to remember more than what you want to remember. He's here to help you. He's more for you than you think. And he goes, I want to bless you. And it sounds like he's shopping, doesn't it? This one. This one. This one. He's looking. It's almost as though he's pleading. Please, he says, will you follow my word, because your life will be so blessed and I'm going to bless you back, and you'll be effective and you'll be a doer, not just a hearer, and your life will be so radically changed you won't even be able to contain it all. Will you please let me bless you? That's what he's saying. Gee, I don't want to disappoint him. On the way in here this morning, I heard that somebody up north won the California Lotto for this week. It was, I think, $16 million. They announced it on KNX News, one number holder. And obviously, this guy is happy about it, I would think. Unless he falls into those statistics we talked about a couple weeks ago. Well, the system was built that somebody would benefit from it. And God says, you know what? I'm not into Lotto. I'm into you, each of us, being blessed beyond measure. In my life, I have to ask myself, if I'm not being blessed, then am I a forgetful hearer? Am I really trusting in His Word and believing in what He has said? I have to examine myself in the mirror of God, the perfect law of liberty. And then the word, and we'll be done with this, the word is, but this is the one who's blessed. He looks into the Word of God. He continues. He doesn't forget. He does. Watch. The word look in Greek is to come down from where you're at in your thinking and to lay down and get alongside the Word of God. To lay down? It means to get eye level with the Word of God, down on the floor. The word means to lay down next to the Word of God. That's cool. to lay down. It assumes it's a humble position. Now, I took a ruler out and I measured the eye level to my 5-pound Yorkshire Terrier to the ground. It's 7 inches. His eyes are at 7 inches. You walk around the earth at 7 inches of eye level. You know what? I lay down there with him. Ankles go by. They look like rockets. And the kitchen table, you can see everything underneath it. You look out in the backyard and it's like looking out into Yosemite or something when you're that little. 7 inches off the ground. My dog sees everything at 7 inches. That's low. This word's lower. It means to lay down. And he's been laying down before sleeping. And it means to, this word, come down from where you're at and get level with the Word of God. He was sleeping and he's going, dreaming in his sleep. Feet are going all out of sync. One of them's going, one's going quick, one's hardly going at all. What's he thinking? In his mind, I'm sure he's like rescuing poodles and saving Pomeranians and here I come. I'm from Yorkshire. I'm Sir Scruffy. What's he thinking? He's dreaming. His body's moving. He's floundering around. He's down as low as you can go. And that's the meaning of the word. To get alongside the Bible, look right into it, and say, what are you thinking? What do you want me to do? What can I know? What can I know and do? Talk to me, Bible. Get alongside of it. Get off of the place that where you're at. Well, this is why I'm in ministry. Hey, you're messed up. Get down. Well, this is why I go to church. There's, you know, some business going on there after service. Get down. Well, I go there for my conscience. My father, my grandfather, my grandfather's father go to. I'm going to church. Get down to the Bible and say, God, help me not to be deceived and to do. And those who do, because God blesses obedience, are truly His. It's as different, and you can close your Bible, as a sheep is from a goat. Sheep need a shepherd, and they really want one. Goats could care less. Goats eat anything. Sheep have got to have the proper food. Sheep have to have human intervention. Goats could care less. You'll find them both in the same field. One does sheepy things because they're sheep. Goats will do anything because they're a goat. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving ourselves. Let's be careful. Lord, we do ask that your word would be ever before our eyes. And as we look into the perfect law of liberty, we must confess that we know much more than what we do. And that brings to us now an awareness of our great need to ask of you, Lord, to forgive us, to seek your power and your strength, and that we might be doers. So, Father, we give you our hearts today. We ask you to help us to not be deceived. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, carefully listen. Maybe you've sat in here for maybe months, maybe weeks, maybe years. You've always assumed that you're a Christian. But do people who know you assume you're a Christian too? Do they know it? Are they sure of it? What witness do you have? It is possible, friend, according to the Bible, that we've been deceived and the commitment that we've made was never a commitment at all, because only commitments bring change. The Bible says that if you say you know God and you love Him, says 1 John, but sin and live in sin, The truth is not in you, and you are a liar. Maybe this morning, you've woken up to the reality, I need Jesus for real. I've been religious for a long time. If that's you, hold that thought. Maybe for some of you this morning, you've never heard the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross 2,000 years ago and rose again from the dead. And He's the only way to heaven. The only way. And this morning you've been alerted to the fact that you may not make it. You have no peace and assurance. If these challenges from God speak to your heart in any way to come to Him, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, will you slip your hand up right now wherever you're at and I'll pray for you. And after the close of this service, you can go back and get a Bible. We'll give you a Bible so you can start reading it. Anyone raise your hands? God bless you on the aisle. And you, both of you, in the back. You up in the very front. You in the middle to my side. You in the back. You up here on this front end on the aisle. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? You in the very back. God bless you. I see your hand. You too. I see yours up front. You. I see your hand that just went up. You can put your hand down. God bless you. God bless you too. And you there. Listen, you're raising your hands and you're making a very wise decision. And maybe you're expecting a lot of hoopla right now. Maybe you're expecting some electrical charge or some kind of feeling to flow down your spine. It's not the way He works. He's calling you to come to Him. And He saw your hand go up. And if you would agree with this prayer, then you would just tell Him yes, and that is, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and save me from my sins and make my life brand new. And Lord, I want to have a new direction, and I don't want to be deceived anymore. I want to have an incredible life starting now. It's never too late. Lord, I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And I come to You today as my Lord and my Savior. If you agree with that, those of you who raised your hands, you just let Him know now. You just say, yes, Jesus, that's what I want. And boy, is He faithful. He is so faithful. Let's stand, if you would.